Today, we'll have a first-timer report with lots of bells and whistles. That's coming up on this episode 139 of WWE Prep to Go. Hello and welcome to WW Prep to Go, where we talk strategy and ideas for people planning their Disney World trips. I am your host, Shannon Albert from WDWPrepSchool.com. Thank you for being here for episode 139. This episode is a first-timer report with Gina, and she and her family went just after Thanksgiving into December, and they were able to add lots of details to their trip, lots of extra add-ons that most of us cannot do. And so it's really fun to hear from her and how that worked out during her trip. So I'll get into that in just a minute. Before I do, I just wanted to let you know that if you are listening to this when it goes up in mid-January, I am getting ready to go to Disney World, and I will be there January 19th to the 25th, staying at Saratoga Springs Resort. And this trip, I always have a to-do list, so this trip has Epcot Festival of the Arts, including the dining package with that. We're going to be testing the express buses that go between the parks. I have the new Magic Kingdom opening and some new restaurants, so I'm really looking forward to that. So the next episode of this podcast will be my trip report from this trip. If I can, I'm going to record audio every day throughout the trip, and then I'll put it together into one episode. If I can't do that, then I'll just talk about it all at one time. But either way, next episode will be my trip report from my January trip. So I don't want to waste any more time because I know these trip reports, they are a lot longer than normal episodes, so I don't need to add to the bulk of that. But after the interview, the before and after interview with Gina, you will hear me come back with a quick tip of the day before wrapping it up. So without any further ado, here is Gina. Welcome to the podcast, Gina.
Thank you, Shannon.
So when I asked for people to leave voicemails on the Speak Pipeline, you were one of the people that called in about your upcoming trip, which has lots of details to it, and I can't wait for you to share those today. So let's dive in.
Great.
When is your trip?
So we're leaving on the Sunday after Thanksgiving, and we're staying until the following Saturday. So 6 nights, right after Thanksgiving.
So you're kind of straddling November, December, and yes, you're not arriving until after the Thanksgiving crowds kind of have gone away.
That's our hope. Yeah, that's the plan, is to get in there when everybody else is leaving. So fingers crossed, that's how it works out.
Yeah. And who are the people going on this trip?
So be myself and my husband, and then our two kids. I have a daughter that is 9 and a son that's 6. And then my parents will be coming with us also.
Is this your first trip?
It's not my first trip. It's my first trip, I would say, really, as an adult. I probably haven't been in about 15 or 20 years. And it's definitely my first one being the planner.
Yeah. And that's kind of my criteria for these first timer interviews, is it has to be your first time planning. So because I consider my first trip to be the first time planning, even though I'd gone a couple of times as a kid too. But it's totally different when you're the one that's responsible for everybody. So
for sure. There's
6 of you. And Yes. Where are you guys staying?
We're staying at the Boardwalk, which was sort of a hard decision at Christmas time. I kind of wanted to stay at the Wilderness Lodge, and we had talked about maybe the Contemporary for the proximity to Magic Kingdom. But my parents are sort of used to staying at a certain type of hotel, and when I just kept looking at the images and reading the reviews, I felt like they might be the most comfortable at the Boardwalk. Like it would be the most, like a standard, you know, nice hotel that they would normally stay at. Maybe a little less theming, but I think they'll be comfortable there. And then I really like the proximity to Epcot and to Hollywood Studios. So that's where we ended up.
And you're in the regular Boardwalk, not the Boardwalk Villas, I assume?
Right. We're the regular Boardwalk. We are staying on the club level, which I think will be nice. So we won't have to worry about breakfast in the morning and, you know, snacks in the evening if the kids are hungry. But yes, in the inn.
And the people have asked me after some of these first time interviews to get into a little bit more details of logistics and that kind of stuff. So I hope you don't mind me asking, but with you guys going with 3 generations, how do you work out the What's the financial arrangement and how does everybody weigh in on their opinions? Like, is everybody paying for their own expenses and everybody's kind of equal in sharing their opinions, or is one person kind of in charge?
For our situation, it's kind of funny. We are very lucky in that my parents are actually treating us to the trip. They wanted to take our family and we had no objection to that. And sort of along with that, my mother said, we'll pay for it, but just plan the whole thing. So she's and my father have been totally hands off with it, aside from, you know, handing me their credit card, which has been a very fortunate blessing for us. And so I've been able to make all the decisions. And so it's been easier to plan without getting a lot of people's opinions. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, it can be a little tricky. Like, every decision that I make is really 100% my decision. So I'm a little nervous. Like, I try to think about how everybody would feel and what their thoughts would be. But they're pretty go with the flow. They're pretty flexible and they'll be happy to kind of come along for the ride. So fingers crossed that I've, you know, made a plan that will work for everybody that's coming. And my husband's the same way. Like, he really is happy to just follow whatever.
Well, good. You got the best of both worlds.
You
got somebody else to pay and then you get to make the plans. Although it sounds like you're being considerate in the process. So you said you picked the hotel based on something that you thought that they would enjoy. Was there any other sort of requests or anything that you wanted to take into account for them specifically?
Not really. I mean, well, I guess a lot of the things that we plan, like, for example, we're going for 6 nights. When we had originally thought about going, we were planning to go for 8 nights. And then it was really more difficult for my parents to be away for extra evenings, and just to have a longer trip. And so I came up with a solution of actually booking the VIP tours for 2 of our days and then decreasing the length of our stay. So my goal is to be really efficient while we are there and then kind of get them, you know, have a bit of a shorter trip so that that works out better for them. So things like that, I think, you know, I tried to take into consideration what would work best for them.
Right. And so you kind of, you shared how you chose the boardwalk, but I forgot to ask how you chose these dates. What went into that?
I guess just a lot of internet searching about, I wanted low crowds. So hopefully, you know, that will end up working out, or just, you know, at least a little bit lower than normal. And then, my family really likes Christmas time. And so we thought it would be just extra magical to be at Disney during Christmas. So that definitely had a hand in it too. And then originally we had booked the week after this one. And then somewhere along, maybe in April or May, the free dining came out for this week. So we ended up moving it back a week to take advantage of free dining. So we do have free dining for the week that will be there.
Okay. That'll come in handy because then once you're there, nobody has to worry about the food costs. It's already taken care of. Okay. So when you started to plan out your days there, how many park days at each park do you have planned?
So I have 1 day at Animal Kingdom and it's actually our arrival day. So it will be more like a half day, which I know may not be enough, but I had to kind of, you know, cut one a little bit short. So hopefully that will be enough for us at Animal Kingdom. And then I have a full day at Universal. So that takes up obviously one full day away from Disney. I've got 2 full days at Magic Kingdom and then I've got 1 full day at Epcot and then a split day Epcot and Hollywood Studios. And then our last day is like a half day. So we'll probably go back to Hollywood Studios, although I'm going to be flexible on that one, whatever is the kids' favorite. So for, you know, it's possible we could end up back at Animal Kingdom, but from a fast pass perspective, I made reservations for Hollywood Studios on the last day.
So based on that, you have park hopper tickets.
We do.
And that was also a requirement of getting free dining, correct? You had to upgrade your tickets anyway. And so not only did you have to get them because of free dining, and you had to get them to do 2 parks in 1 day, but I often recommend it when you're staying near a park that you have park hoppers, just in case you want to go over there in the evening, you don't have to worry about your tickets. So those will come in handy for a variety of reasons. Okay, so now that you kind of after you kind of decided how many parks and how many days in each park, then how did you decide where to eat, or where did you decide to eat during your trip?
So we have the free dining, so I wanted to take advantage of that as much as I could. What was funny was when I first booked the trip, my kids were, I didn't think that they would be into the characters. Like, my daughter's very shy, and I thought maybe she would be just not comfortable around the characters. And then after we told them we were going, she suddenly became all about the characters. So I ended up booking quite a few character meals because I thought that would be a comfortable way for her to meet with a lot of them. And, so we've got.
And did she ahead. Did she tell you that before you had hit your 180-day mark, or was it after that?
I think it must have been right around then, because I think it was after, because I booked like two of them thinking that would be good, and then I ended up booking an additional one after that. After she told me.
And the reason I asked is because when you're going during a free dining time, sometimes the restaurants are hard to get into just because everybody's trying to use their credits. So I didn't know if that posed an extra challenge for you.
A little bit, but I just kind of kept looking around, and I did one of those reservation finders on the touring plan site. And that was how I scored that last. It was a lunch at Crystal Palace that I added in at the end.
Okay. So Crystal Palace is on your list of places. And what else?
I've got Tusker House on our first day. Mm-hmm. I thought they would like that. And then we have Garden Grill when we're at Epcot, which I know you really like, and I had heard you speaking highly of, so that was on my list to definitely do that one. I think that's it for character meals. As far as other ones, we have Via Napoli for dinner one night. My family is Italian, and I knew my father would really like Via Napoli, so I wanted to get that one for sure. And then we've got Whispering Canyon Cafe for breakfast one morning.
How are you getting to Whispering Canyon Cafe? Are you going to have your own car or no?
I don't know. Do you have a recommendation? I haven't actually really thought of it.
I recommend either having your own car or a taxi or Uber or something like that. That's why I was asking.
Yeah, no, we don't have our own car. We'll be flying down, and we're not planning to rent a car. So maybe an Uber that morning when we get to Whispering Canyon.
Yeah, that always concerns me. That's why when I'm trying to think through your plans, I can sort of picture in my head like, okay, it's going to take this long, and they can get there by bus, or they can, you know what I mean? Like, I'm trying to think through logistics. And that one, when you were naming it, was the one that stuck out to me. So you might consider taxi or Uber that day.
Okay. That's a good tip. Thank you.
Yeah. For that breakfast. Okay. And I think we are kind of talking over each other, cause there's a bit of a delay and it's hard to know when to start talking, but after you said Whispering Canyon, what else did you say?
Sci-Fi is our other ADRs that we have at Hollywood Studios for a lunch.
Okay. All right. And you said that so when you went on 180 days out, you didn't really have many issues making those reservations, correct?
I didn't. And actually, we used a travel agent, so she was able to get most of what I wanted at the 180 days without an issue.
Good. That's one of the best uses of a travel agent. Even if you do a lot of research, which you obviously have, it's nice to have backup and some extra assistance.
Yeah, she was really helpful. The Via Napoli that we're doing is a candlelight processional package, and those were a little tricky to get. When we go, it's going to be Neil Patrick Harris, and I think he's really popular. So she was instrumental in getting us that reservation. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah, he's the most popular, and he always comes at the same exact time. I've heard him say that it's a family tradition, so people are like ready for those dates to both the candlelight processional packages.
Yeah.
So now you've got your dining picked out, and then the next thing that you would have had to think about is booking your fast passes, which would have been a few months later. How did that process go? I've been hearing that that's the part that makes people the most stressed out. Was that true for you or no?
I think that's when it starts to get like really real, where you have to actually take the park maps out and go like, what makes sense here logistically? Can I get from point A to point B at certain times? And just, I think just it's overwhelming to think you know, 60 days from now that I'm at exactly 3 o'clock, I'm going to be mm-hmm. at this location. Mm-hmm. But it ended up, I mean, with the window you get, I feel like that makes it more comfortable. I think I didn't really realize it was an hour window before I was booking them. And I was like, well, that's reasonable. I mean, within that hour time frame, it seems like I could get there. And there's no penalty if you miss it. So, you know, and with the ADRs, you have that $10 penalty. If you don't cancel your reservation with the fast pass, you just lose it. So
yeah,
I didn't find it. Yeah.
I think the part that maybe stresses people out is knowing what their family is going to like ahead of time. Cause sometimes with kids, you want them to see an attraction and if it looks interesting, they'll go on it, but you have to think 2 months ahead of time what, you know, you have to kind of make a guess. And then the other thing is just the timing. You do get a 1 hour window for most of the attractions, but when you log on, you don't know if you're going to get that exact hour. It's kind of right. up to what's available and what, you know, what the system allows. So then you find yourself having to adjust on the fly, and it's a lot to sort of know. It's hard to be flexible when you don't really know what you're doing. But was there anything you were unable to get or any challenges?
Well, you know, I feel like I'm really lucky because I have the VIP guide. So he's sort of my backup for anything I wasn't able to get. My understanding is that he'll be essentially a human fast pass. So, for example, I didn't get a fast pass for Frozen, but I didn't really prioritize it because I thought, well, he'll just get me on that, you know, on the day that we're at Epcot with him. My kids aren't super into Frozen. My daughter is not a princess girl, and my son could take it or leave it, but you know, I really want to ride it. And I think they'll love it once they get on it just because of, you know, how the experience of it. Mm-hmm. But in terms of like fast passes, my kids were both like, we need to get a fast pass for Test Track. So when I did the fast passes, I picked Test Track for Epcot. And then I thought, well, I'm lucky that I have this sort of ace in the hole where I'm going to get on Frozen anyway, most likely through the VIP guide.
How much are you using a VIP guide throughout your trip?
So we have him booked for 2 days. So we're going to be using him for a full day at Magic Kingdom. And then, well, not a full day. You have to book 7 hours. So we have him from 1:30 to 8:30 on Wednesday, the 30th. So my plan is we have some fast passes in the morning at Magic Kingdom, and then we'll meet up with him and get on basically everything else, hopefully, and get some nice seating for the parade. That's a priority for me. And then the following day, we'll split Epcot and Hollywood Studios with the tour guide. And hopefully, you know, he'll get us on the big rides at Epcot and then over to Hollywood Studios for all the big ones there, get those all in. And actually, I'm hoping he'll also be able to get my kids in the Jedi Training Academy at the studios.
Well, I can't wait to see how that works out. And I'm jealous of the parade seating because the area where they take the VIP guests is where I used to tell people to go. And then they roped it off, and now it's just for VIP guests. So enjoy.
Thank you.
I love that spot, and I can't wait to hear from you what you think of it. I also, my understanding is that when you change parks, they drive you directly. So you're not spending near as much time on transportation, and you get driven right up to the like backstage area of the attractions. So
great. Yeah. I'm really looking forward to it. And I really was surprised when I did the math out. I mean, we had 2 rooms at the boardwalk, obviously between my parents and I, for 2 nights and the park hoppers, and cutting out those 2 days from our tickets and our room really almost paid for the VIP guide. So I think it's something, you know, I hadn't really considered. I sort of thought it was outside of the realm of possibility. But then when I did the math on it, I was like, well, if you're paying, you know, for a deluxe resort and we were staying club level and we had 2 rooms between us, the math really worked out that it was almost break even to have the guide. And for us, like I said, we'd rather be more efficient than be down there for more days. So I'm hoping it was a good decision.
Yeah, I like your way of thinking, because I think most of us do think it's outside of possibility for us. But sometimes when you know, sit down and run the numbers, it's not so bad.
Yeah.
So that'll be good. So under the umbrella of extra magic, you've already talked about some things that I would consider extra magic. You're going to Candlelight Processional and you hired a VIP guide. What other things could fall under that we haven't talked about already?
Well, we've got a couple of dessert parties booked. We're going to do the Wishes dessert party on the not on our Merry Christmas Day. And then we also have tickets to the Very Merry Christmas Party on our last night, which I'm really excited about. Like I said, my family is really, we really love Christmas. We just think it's so magical. So I'm really excited to experience it in the parks. And then we also are doing the Jingle Bell Jingle Bam dessert party at Hollywood Studios. So we're trying to do as many evening shows as we can. We don't have a lot of early mornings. We're not really an early morning people. So we're going to be going strong into the evening.
Yeah. And hopefully just due to the crowds and, you know, the fact that you have VIP guides and Fast Pass Plus and dessert party, it'll kind of be the right fit for you guys. So I don't know if you listened to the last first timer interview podcast that I did, but she did a similar thing where she did the Halloween party on their last full night. And she highly recommended it because by that time they had already been to Magic Kingdom, a couple days and then could focus on just the stuff that they wanted to do their last night at Disney World. So it seems like a really good idea to me.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope it is. I did listen to that and I was like, oh, good. We're going our last night too. So hopefully that will work out the same way. You just kind of hit your highlights and then you can see all the special entertainment that they have during the party.
Yeah. So if your kids really like an attraction, you know, earlier in the week, then you can probably do it multiple times at the party, depending on what it is. And then, you know, along with obviously the party activity. So I think that sounds like a really fun way to end your trip. Let's see. Is there anything that we've missed that are part of your plans?
I don't think so. I was going to make a recommendation just because it worked out so well for my family. So my kids have never been to Disney before and actually, truthfully, never really wanted to go. And I think it was because they really just, if you've never been, you don't really know what you're missing. And so when we told them we were going, they were pretty excited. But at the same time, we bought them the Burn Bomb book, Walt Disney World for Kids. And it has made like all the difference in the world. That book is so dog-eared now. They've been through it 100 times, both of them. We've read every section out loud and they are just, you know, fever pitch excited now. And I really think without that book, they would be excited, but they wouldn't really understand. And this has just given them such a good perspective. And I think for my daughter, who's she can be a little bit less adventurous than my son. I think it's going to make her more likely to try some of the rides because it has actual kids reviews and they say, you know, it might seem scary, but you'll like it. Or, you know, when it's kids her age, I think it's given her a really good perspective going in that has prepared her.
Yeah, the Burn Bombs for Kids book is by far my favorite, especially for kids your age, because they can read, but it's not going to be interesting for them to read a regular guidebook and has pictures and ratings and all that kind of stuff. I think it's a fantastic idea. So I'm glad that that's been helpful.
Yeah, it's really made a difference.
Yeah, good. And so this is the first trip for your family to go. Right now, do you think that you'll be going back within the next few years, or what are your thoughts right now?
It's so funny that you say that because I said, like, we'll go and it'll be our really, you know, big deal trip. We're going to do it up and then, you know, we'll go other places after that. And already my son is like, well, we can go back when Star Wars World is ready, right? And we can go back in probably in 2 years or maybe in 2019. And so they're already lobbying to go back and we haven't even gone yet. So I'm guessing we may end up going back more frequently than I had originally planned.
Yeah, the reason I like to ask that question before your trip and after your trip is because people that plan really well and thoroughly usually have a good time just because you've done the homework, but also it becomes almost like a part-time job because it does take a lot of time. And so when you get back, it's tempting to just go back into planning, you know, like, oh, well, let's start planning tentatively for 2 or 3 years from now, you know? So I'm just always interested to hear what your perspective is because I know it's been a lot of work and hopefully it will be a lot of fun. So
yeah, I'm already dreading coming back. I'm like, oh, it's going to be such a letdown after we've been planning it for over a year. So what am I going to look at on the computer now?
I know. That's how I got started. That's how a lot of us got addicted. So we'll just see how you feel when you get back. Well, thank you for sharing with me before your trip. And I can't wait to talk to you in December when you get back and hear all about it.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm looking forward to telling you about it.
Okay. Thanks, Gina. Welcome back from your trip, Gina.
Thank you.
So we are talking about a week or so after you got back, and your trip dates again were November 26th to December 2nd. Is that correct?
We actually came back on the 3rd.
The 3rd. Okay. Yep. On your pre-trip, you had given days of the week. And when I was trying to jot down dates, I think I misheard the day and or something. Anyway, November 26th to December 3rd. And first, let's start with just the week that you decided to go. How did you like that week in terms of crowds and weather and that kind of thing?
The weather was amazing. I know I've heard that the weather can be kind of iffy in November. Like it can be real cold or real hot or rainy. We had like, you couldn't have asked for better weather. It was like in the 70s or low 80s every day. It rained for literally 5 minutes one day. It was like breezy. So even when it was like 80, it wasn't hot. And then at night it got a little bit cooler, but it never got really cold. You know, we could put a sweatshirt on and be comfortable. So for me, like, I really don't like to be hot. It was perfect, like comfortable to walk around and never boiling, but also not freezing.
Yeah, I'm glad that that worked out. It really can be a mix. It could be really hot, or it actually could be a little bit chilly. So you just never know. But you got just the right weather, it sounds like.
Yeah, we lucked out. And then I guess crowd wise, I would say, you know, it was pretty good. I haven't been in like 20 years. I asked people when we were there and they said it was, you know, moderate for crowds, not that crowded. To me, some places felt really crowded and I thought, oh my gosh, I can't imagine being here on a high crowd day. But I guess we were there, you know, was pretty comfortable with the crowds. We didn't end up waiting much for very many rides. So it was good.
By chance, were any of your sort of more crowded moments in restaurants?
No, I would say it was just felt crowded at Magic Kingdom both times that we went.
Yeah. Okay. And the reason I asked that is because you were there during a free dining period. So sometimes the restaurants can feel busy even if the parks don't. And so,
oh, that's true.
Yeah. So I wasn't sure if that was a factor. Magic Kingdom, I think in general, it's more difficult to get to, especially if you're driving. And it's just busier. Like it's the most popular park. When they release statistics about the most popular parks in the world, theme parks, Magic Kingdom has double the attendance of any of the other Disney World parks. So it just always is busier.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that's true.
Even if the other, you know, even if the other parks don't feel busy. Okay. So pretty good week that you had in terms of weather and crowds. And how about the hotel? Because you stayed Boardwalk Club level, which was partially chosen for your parents' tastes. What did you think of it?
I think we all loved it. You know, even my kids, and I wasn't really sure because there's no real theming to speak of, but they really enjoyed the hotel. I mean, as soon as we got our rooms, they looked out at the view and we had a boardwalk view and they thought that was like amazing. We could see the boardwalk. We could see some Christmas trees. A couple of the nights we could see like a magician, you know, like a street entertainer who was like juggling and balancing things. And they thought that was really cool. They loved the pool there. It was warm enough to swim. We swam twice and it had that slide that ends in the clown's mouth. Nobody in my family is clown phobic, so we were fine with that.
Yes.
so they thought that was great. It was like the perfect level of, you know, something fancy in the pool. Like we didn't stay at the beach club where it's like a really amazing pool, but this was just a manageable, like fun pool to swim in. And just being on the boardwalk was nice. You know, we ate at the Boardwalk Bakery once. We ate at that Ample Hills Creamery. We got ice cream a couple times. We rented one of those bikes and rode it around the lake. So it was just like a neat atmosphere where it was like, even if you were back in your room, you could sort of just wander around and feel like there was still something to do outside of your room. So I liked that. And then, I really liked the proximity to Epcot. We ended up going to Epcot probably, you know, four different times that maybe we wouldn't have otherwise. Mm-hmm. And just like being able to pop over there. And one of the days we took a break because we were so close to come back and swim. And then we like made it back for our next fast pass, you know, like that was really convenient. So for me, I would definitely stay there again. It was comfortable for my parents. My kids liked it. We liked it. It was good.
Good. I'm glad that you liked it. And it sounds like you really took advantage of the things that were available there, which is really nice. Our very first trip, we stayed at the Boardwalk and we didn't do enough right there in the area, which is a shame. It's a shame to be able to see it and then not actually do it.
It's hard to fit everything in, though. I mean, the only reason we saw it was because, you know, like one day everybody had a meltdown at the park, so we had to leave. And then it was like, oh, now we're getting to enjoy our hotel. So you have to give something up in order to enjoy the hotel.
Yes, that is true. What about the club level portion of your reservation? Did you take full advantage of the club lounge?
I really feel like we did. Even just like the day we got there around lunchtime. And rather than kind of wasting time going somewhere to eat before we went to the first park, we were able to, even before our room was ready, we were able to check in and get the club level access. And they were putting out like, I don't know what to call it, like heavy hors d'oeuvres. Like they had little sandwiches, chips, trail mix, popcorn. So we were able to have enough of a snack there to hold us over until like we had a 4 o'clock dinner that night. So, that was great. Even the first day, every single morning we had breakfast there. Even when we had a breakfast ADR, it was usually like around 9:30 or one was at 11. So we were able to have like breakfast at 7:30 and get something in our stomachs. And then a couple nights we made it back there and had like, they would have desserts from 8 to 10 and we would, you know, go over there and have a snack. One night we could see illuminations from there. So we watched that while having snacks. So I would say like we were in the club level lounge a good amount every day. So that was nice.
One nice thing about that is that I think one of the cons, if we were doing a pros and cons list for the boardwalk, is that the quick service, you have to go outside to get to it. So if you wanted to get a snack or a drink or whatever, you'd have to go outside, which may not be convenient to everybody. If you wanted to just throw on some flip-flops and t-shirt and sweatpants and go get a snack, it's kind of annoying to have to go outside. You know, and it might be hot, it might be raining, it might be crowded, you never know. But if you have a club level, you can easily pop in and not have to go quite that distance for a little something to eat or drink.
Yeah, that's true. It was really convenient. And we were on the same floor as it. So we just, you know, had to walk out of the room. We went in our pajamas a couple times, you know, with the kids, and that was easy. And they were really accommodating. Like every day we would ask them for 6 bottles of water and they would give it to us and we would take them to the park. So little things like that ended up being like time savers and money savers for us. So I don't know, you know, with the increased cost of club level, if it evened out, but convenience wise, it was really nice.
Yeah. And, you know, honestly, club level is not usually necessarily a financial decision. It's more about, you know, convenience and what kind of trip you want to have. So it sounds like you took full advantage of that.
Yes.
Okay. And I jotted down some notes from our last conversation of things that you said you were going to do. So let's kind of walk through your trip. I believe that on arrival day, you had plans at Animal Kingdom. So let's start there.
We did. So we ended up taking, I think it might have been your advice or someone's advice at some point that I had read, and not taking the Magical Express from the airport. We had a car pick us up, which wasn't that expensive and was just like really fast. So we landed early and we were able to get a car and we went right to the boardwalk. We had a quick snack at the club level and then we went over to Animal Kingdom and we got there kind of ahead of schedule. So that was nice. We were able to fit in a couple of things earlier than we had planned. So that was good. We went to the Tree of Life first and we saw Tough to Be a Bug because there was really no wait for that. We were able to get right on there. And then we made our fast pass for Lion King, which I wasn't sure if we were going to make it or not for that. And I'm so glad we did. I didn't know if my family would like it. And that was really good. I mean, there's someone twirling fire and there's dancers suspended from the ceiling and everyone really enjoyed that show. That was really fun.
Yeah, that's a good one for everyone. I think I tear up every time and I've seen it, you know, dozens of times. It's such a crowd pleaser.
Yeah, it really was. I wasn't sure like if my father, for example, would like it, but he was like, that was great. So that was a nice first thing to do. Then we had a fast pass for Everest. Oh, on the way over to that, I think we stopped and we had the memory maker. So every time I saw a photo pass person, we tried to get photos with that. So we did that. And then we did Everest. And my kids were like a little nervous. And I don't know, I'd never been on it. And I misguided them. I was like, this is a family coaster. You know, you guys will be fine. And my mother was like, great. You know, thinking it'd be kind of like Big Thunder Mountain or something. And then we got on and like, it was pretty scary for them. I didn't really realize it went, I thought it went backwards once, but then it was like backwards a lot of the time. And it was dark a lot of the time. And that kind of freaked them out. So they after that, they were a little mistrusting of me. Like, right. Like, you said yes. You were going to like this.
You've mentioned two things that can scare kids to death. The third is dinosaur. And you haven't mentioned that yet. But so it's tough to be a bug. A lot of people are like, oh, they allow kids. Let's go. And it scares a lot of little ones. And then the same with Expedition Everest, where the height requirement isn't that tall. So a lot of 5 and 6 year olds love it. I mean, or they're tall enough to go on it, but then they don't love it. They're actually terrified. So you said two things that could have made your kids.
Could have gone badly. I know. I wasn't sure about bugs. Like, they kind of screamed on Bug's Life, but then laughed. So they did like that one. But Everest, I think for my son especially, it was like the dark, because he does like coasters, but he doesn't like dark. And my daughter doesn't like dark or coasters. So that was like, I don't even know why I made her go on it. But
well, you broke her in right away. Okay, so the trifecta of terror, did you do dinosaur with them?
We did not. It had been on our list and my son had really wanted to ride it. And we ended up just not having time like to jump on it. Like, there was a long wait at the time we could have got on. I think it was like 40 minutes and that's kind of too long for my 6-year-old, who's the one who really wanted to ride it. So I said, and I, in my head was like, it's going to terrify him, you know? So I was able to kind of talk him out of it. I said, do you really want to wait 40 minutes? And he was like, I guess not. So we didn't end up riding it. We actually ended up after Everest hitting the Flights of Wonder show, which I hadn't really planned on, but it was at that time. And my son was like, I don't want to do that. That sounds boring. And he was like mesmerized. Like, he was standing up, laughing, because we were kind of in a back row, you know, laughing, like gasping when the birds came out. I mean, he loved it. So I was so glad that we ran, you know, stopped in there and got to see it. Like, we stayed afterwards so he could look at the birds closer. So that was actually, I really thought it was a cool show too. I mean, the birds fly right over your head and they're rare birds that the kids would have never really see otherwise. And we really enjoyed that.
Yeah, it's my favorite animal attraction at Animal Kingdom. I just think it's really well done. It's entertaining and informational. So yeah, it's a good combo. I'm glad you made time to do that or had time to do that. If I'm not mistaken, you also had a dinner reservation at Tusker House.
We did. So after the Flights of Wonder, we headed over in that direction. We were a little bit early, so they kind of played on some drums and listened to, you know, did some dancing. But then we went and had dinner at Tusker House, and that was good. We had really good service. She was really good about saying, like, when a character is in, like, this position, you have this much time, so, like, that's a good time to go to the buffet kind of thing, because we didn't really know how to judge that. So that was helpful. So we could get up there and not miss a character. And they, you know, we saw all four characters, I would say, in under an hour. So that was good. I mean, the food was just okay. I mean, it was a buffet, but it was fine. I mean, everybody ate and was full. And the characters were really good. That was our first character experience. So we got autographs and photos and the kids loved that.
So you had a little bit of everything on your arrival day, a little bit of terror, a little bit of fun and a good, character meal. To start off.
We did. It was good. And then after dinner, we had a fast pass to do like a sunset safari. So we did that right after. And that was, I had hoped to do it when it was like on the lighter side of sunset. And even though we had a fast pass, we were in line almost, I would say close to 30 minutes. I don't know if it felt longer because I was like panicking about the impending dark, but it seemed like a long time. I don't know why. But eventually we got on and we did see a lot. It was kind of hard to make out the details, but my kids, like, I think that might've been their favorite ride of the day. Like, a giraffe and a rhinoceros walked really close to our vehicle. And that was like amazing for them. And even just like, we could see the lions and they were moving on their rocks and they were like, oh my gosh, it's a real lion, you know? So they were amazed by it. I wish we could have seen it a little better, but actually we do later in the trip end up going back there and seeing a daytime one. So, but it was good. I'm glad that we did it, that night. I wish I had been just slightly lighter.
Yeah. And I'm glad it worked as well as it did. Cause the nighttime ones can be kind of disappointing because a lot of times there's nothing to look at and except for the lions, cause they don't move much during the day, but, it sounds like you got some activity in spite of the darkness. So I'm looking forward to hearing how it went when you came back. So I assume that comes pretty close to wrapping up your first day. And what was your next day like?
Our next day was probably our worst day. We actually went to Universal on Monday. And we had a van that took us, which worked out great. They were wonderful. the problem here was really, I just really misjudged my kids' like ability to handle rides. And I kind of should have known based on Everest, but you know, we obviously had already planned the day and bought the tickets, and we've been reading Harry Potter. So we went right to the Harry Potter rides, and we went to that Flight of the Hippogriff. No, what's it called? Forbidden Journey first. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it was just terrifying. Like, I was scared. Like, you know, I mean, I was fine. Like, I would ride it again, but I closed my eyes a couple of times. And so for me to close my eyes, like, my kids were like, I can't believe, I mean, they laugh about it now. Like, Henry, my son, will go, you know, these are my least favorite rides, the Harry Potter ride. I'm like, I know. So it just was really intense and it was scary. So that kind of set the tone for the day. We rode a little roller coaster near there, which he liked. And we rode the train, the Hogwarts Express. And that was really cool. Then I made him ride Escape from Gringotts or whatever, mm-hmm. on the other side of the park. And like, that was also kind of terrifying. My daughter just sat that one out with my mother. And then it was like, they just lost all interest in me. Like, they wouldn't even go on Despicable Me. And I was like, you guys, it's the Minions. Like, it's not going to be scary. And they were like, you said that about the other rides. So I was starting to get frustrated with them at that point. So we went and did the rides in Seuss Land. And then I just called for our ride back to the hotel. And we went back to the hotel about 2:30. And that was a day where, you know, where everybody was melting down. I was trying not to get irritated, but I was a little, just thinking about how much those tickets had cost and what I had thought was going to be so much fun and just was a kind of a flop. But then they had so much fun in the pool and we spent a lot of time on the boardwalk. And so it ended up being fun. But Universal for us, I guess, was just too soon, or maybe I approached it wrong by doing those intense rides right off the bat.
Yeah, I think we always hope that there's going to be a direct relationship between how much we spend and how much enjoyment our family has. And yeah. it doesn't necessarily work out like that. You know, your kids don't know how much those tickets cost. They just knew that they were they were terrified. Universal does tend to be an older kid park. So, you know, maybe someday that'll feel better to them if you want to try it again.
Yeah. And we just, it was kind of like nothing was working out. We bought those wands that are interactive, and mm-hmm. we couldn't get any of the spells to work. You know, like, they kept trying and they were getting frustrated. And I fortunately ended up returning them because it was $100 between the two wands. And they were very nice. They said, you know, no problem. And it was like 2 minutes later, I had my money back. But it was almost like everything we tried to do just did not work. We had lunch somewhere and it was like not good. And we were like, we better just get out of here. I think today is just not going to be a good day here. So
you regrouped. You had an enjoyable day at the hotel. Did you go to Epcot that evening, or?
We didn't, because we had 6 day park hoppers and we couldn't do a park that day if we wanted to do one on our leaving day. So we didn't go to a park. Yeah.
But you had hotel time and people were in a better mood.
Yes. They were more relaxed. It was not a bad night overall.
Okay. So day 3.
Day 3 was Tuesday. We went to Epcot on Tuesday. We walked over, which was awesome. The park opened at 9 and they let us in at like 8:45. And we walked right over to Frozen, which was great. Like, I thought, I'd heard that they kind of put you in a holding area and then they let you kind of walk, but they let us we got right in line. And we didn't have a fast pass for it, so I wanted to do it first. And we made it maybe 20 minutes, which mm-hmm. compared to wait times for that wasn't bad. I thought it was amazing. Like, I was blown away by it. I was like, look at the technology. And my family thought it was cool, but I was like the most impressed by it. Also, my daughter's not really into princesses. So she wasn't like, she thought it was fun, but it wasn't like she really loves Anna and Elsa. But I thought it was a really neat ride. I was mm-hmm. glad we got on it.
The animatronics are amazing. And after all the things that your kids had ridden up to that point, that probably seemed really mild to them.
Yes. Yep. Mm-hmm. It was like way more their speed. Yeah. It was perfect.
Yeah. So and to your comment about being in a holding pattern, it seems to vary. Sometimes they'll let you in the park at 8:30, but then keep you in a holding area and, you know, until closer to 8:50 or 9 o'clock. And sometimes they just let you in and you can go right over there. So it just varies. Depending on the day.
Okay. So we lucked out. I was glad. I wasn't sure, because we had a 9:45 breakfast at Garden Grill, if we were going to be able to get Frozen in before we headed to breakfast, and we got it in, and we were kind of right on time for breakfast. So it worked out nicely.
So then you headed to Garden Grill, I assume, right after Frozen Ever After.
Yes.
Tell me about that.
So that was good. We checked in and they seated us pretty quickly, and the kids liked that the restaurant moved in that really slow circle. And the food was really good there. It was relaxing because you didn't have to go up to the buffet. They would just bring you food, and they would bring you more food if you wanted more food. And we met all the characters in a reasonable amount of time, and it was just like really pleasant. We enjoyed it. It was a good breakfast.
That is a perfect description of it. And I'm glad that you had had the experience at Tusker House first, because Tusker House is how most character meals work, where it's a buffet and you kind of have to watch for the characters to come around to your table. But it's totally different at Garden Grill, isn't it? They bring everything.
I really liked it.
It comes to you. So if you had done that first, you would have been spoiled because you wouldn't have known any different. But it's precisely why I like it. And also the food is good.
The food was really good. Yeah. Yeah. We enjoyed that a lot. And then we kind of just went through the land pavilion while we were still in there. So we had a fast pass for Living with the Land right after Garden Grill. So we rode that and everybody loved that. My father has a greenhouse at his house, so he's really into garden, a huge garden. So everyone was like into it. My kids help him in his garden. So it was like right up everybody's alley. It was slow moving. It was not dark. So that was a really good ride for them. They liked that a lot. And then we went over to Soarin', which we didn't have a fast pass for. So we had to wait, but I think it was maybe only like a 20 to 30 minute wait. And they loved that trivia game that they play while you're in line, which I didn't know was there. And they got really into that. And that, you know, knocked off most of the wait time is when you're in the room with that game. So that was good. I loved Soarin'. My son liked Soarin'. My daughter moderately liked Soarin'. Both of them liked Living with the Land better than Soarin'. I was like, okay, but they liked it. But I really liked it. And my parents and my husband really liked it. So I was glad we got on that. And then at that point that was one of our hotter days. So my son headed back to the hotel with my husband and my father, I think, to swim. And that was just so convenient. He could walk back there. And then we had a fast pass for character spot. So my mom and my daughter and I went over to that. So my son was less interested in that. And then after that was done, we met them back at the hotel to swim. And then all of us went back to Epcot for our test track fast pass, which was like around 3 o'clock.
That
worked out. It was really nice. It was like, I think, you know, they swam from like, I don't know, 1 to 2:30. And then we were able to kind of walk back there and real easy be there for test track, which they really liked. Except my daughter was scared. She loved designing the car, but the picture of her on the ride is funny. She's like in my mother's lap with her eyes closed screaming.
Well, maybe that's the photo that we should use to accompany this podcast episode. one of your daughters being terrified, or your son being terrorized on a ride.
Yeah, mostly they were terrified.
Yeah.
But then they'll say they liked it. Like he really liked it. I think we end up riding it a second time with the tour guide, and she doesn't go on if I'm remembering correctly. She thought designing the car was really fun, but it was just a little too fast for her. So that was good. We got that in. And then we had a dinner at Via Napoli at 3:45. And unfortunately, my mother wasn't feeling well, so her and my father went back to the hotel. So just the four of us had dinner at Via Napoli, which was good. The pizza was good. The restaurant was nice. The staff was nice. So that was good. And that was the candlelight processional package because we were seeing the 6:45 candlelight processional. So then it got a little tricky because my parents didn't eat with us. So then they couldn't see the candlelight show. So that was a little annoying because I was like, but we booked it, but then they didn't eat the meal. So we didn't pay for it. So they couldn't have the processional tickets. But it actually ended up working to our advantage because my son did not want to sit through the candlelight processional. So they had walked back to our hotel and they ended up walking back again, picking him up from us and then spending the evening on the boardwalk with him while we watched that show.
So tell me how the candlelight processional went for you.
I loved it. I thought it was amazing. Our host was Neil Patrick Harris, mm-hmm. Who I love. When I found out he was coming, I was like, we have to go. And he did a great job. I was just like, I found it like really moving. You know, I teared up a few times. It was really beautiful. Like, I wish I could have seen it more than once. Mm-hmm. But it was great. I will say, like, for people who are going, they line up for it real early. I think we were at the 6:45 show, and like at 5:30, there were people getting in line. And I just couldn't see standing in that line with my kids. So we probably got in line later than we should have. So we were really far in the back, which was fine. Like, it was still was wonderful. But if you care about where you're sitting, you definitely, even if you have the dinner package, you still have to get in line early.
Yeah. And I think that's true for Neil. He's just, okay. He's the most popular by far. So people are definitely a little bit more antsy to find a seat.
Okay.
Yeah. But I'm glad that you still enjoyed where you ended up and enjoyed the show.
Yeah, I loved it. And then when that was over, we ended up going back to the hotel. We had some ice cream at Ample Hills. And then my son passed out. He was tired. And then my daughter and I went over and saw illuminations from the club level deck, which was not really like a great view, but you can see like the top of the fireworks.
So. Yeah. Yeah, that's the problem. Illuminations doesn't have tall fireworks like Magic Kingdom does, but you can catch glimpses.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
and we had.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say we had a fast pass for it later in the week, so we weren't like trying to see it that night. So it was fine to just see it partially.
So at this point, you have had 3 days in Orlando and none of them have been at Magic Kingdom. And that's not necessarily good or bad, but that's sort of why I'm bringing it up though, is did your kids have an issue with that? Were they thinking, where's the castle? Or was that a non-issue for you?
It wasn't an issue for us. I think because they're not like, my daughter's not super into princesses. And they had helped plan the trip, and there were things at each of the other parks that they really wanted to see, and they knew they were going to see it. So, and they're not so young that they were like, when are we going to go? You know, they knew it was on Wednesday, and that was fine. And it just, for us, like, I wanted to see Neil Patrick Harris, so we had to do Epcot on Tuesday, and we only had a half day on Sunday when mm-hmm. we arrived. And then someone had told me to do Universal at the beginning of the trip because you want to be like in the Disney bubble. Once you're in it, like, you don't want to break out of it. So I wanted to do that first. So really Wednesday almost felt like our first chance to go. So that's how it ended up.
Yeah. It may be my fault, but my kids are 15 and almost 22 and they have to start every trip with Magic Kingdom. But it might be because I've conditioned them that way. Maybe it would have been different if we had done it differently when they were little, but it just depends. I think for some families, they have to start there, and for others, like your kids seem to understand it. So I assume that's coming up very soon. So let's talk about day four.
So day four was Wednesday. We were supposed to have a breakfast at Whispering Canyon that morning. And I ended up changing it while we were on the trip to a 1900 Park Fair reservation, which is at the Grand Floridian. My mother had wanted to see the Christmas decorations there. I had wanted to eat there and just kind of hadn't been able to find a reservation. So when I saw that one come up, I switched it. So we ended up going to the Grand Floridian, and I ended up booking it for 11:20 so that we could have an easy start to the day, because I knew it was going to be a really long day afterwards. Like, we were seeing Wishes at 10. So I didn't want to start the day too early. And it worked out really great. We had asked, I think you had mentioned we might want to get a car mm-hmm. to the hotel. So we, had a taxi pick us up for $20. We, got a van over there, totally worth it. You know, we were there in like 5 minutes. And then I think we went about 45 minutes early so that we could walk around. We saw the gingerbread house down there. Mm-hmm. They had a big Christmas tree with a photo pass photographer. So we got some great pictures in front of the tree of, you know, different combinations of our family. So we just kind of wandered around and checked out the Floridian. So that was nice. And then we went and had our breakfast, which kind of was acting as a lunch for us because I knew we were meeting our tour guide later and wouldn't really eat lunch. And that the food there I thought was great. I don't know what it's like at dinner, but we were all really obsessed with the eggs. We were like, why are these eggs so good? I don't know what they put in them, but the scrambled eggs are really good.
Pixie dust.
Yes. So we enjoyed that. We met Pooh and Tigger and Mad Hatter and Alice. Mm-hmm. So that was nice. A little bit different characters than we had already met. So they liked that, getting their autographs. And then from there, we just jumped on the monorail and went over to Magic Kingdom, which was just one stop. So that was really fast and convenient. Mm-hmm. And I had planned a fast pass at Peter Pan, which we did make. I wasn't sure if we were going to make it. So we did that first, which was cute, but I can't imagine waiting in a long line for that. And my kids didn't like it that much. Like they were like, oh, it was all right.
I know. It's one of the mysteries of the world to me is it's one of the longest lines and not necessarily a great payoff. But if you don't plan like with a fast pass or to do it right when the park opens, then you end up in a too long line or you don't ride it. So it's this weird like catch 22. But yeah, I don't disagree with you, but it's good that you had a fast pass and didn't wait for an hour.
Yeah. So we jumped on that and then we still had like a half hour before we were meeting our guide. So we ended up watching PhilharMagic because it was right there. And that actually everyone really liked. Mm-hmm. I had never seen it before. That was a good little show. And then we met our VIP tour guide. We were meeting him at 1:30 in front of the Mine Train. So we walked over there.
How long did you have him for? What was the reservation?
So we had him for 7 hours on Wednesday and then 7 hours on Thursday. So 7 hours is the minimum amount that you book for. So we booked for the minimum because you pay an hourly rate for them and they are pricey.
Yes, they are. They are. Okay, so 1:30 is your VIP. And where did you say you met him?
We met him at Seven Dwarfs Mine Train.
Okay.
And because we had heard that he's basically like a human fast pass. So we figured he could just get us on that right away. He was great. He was standing out there waiting for us. He was super tall, which ended up being wonderful because we could find him anywhere. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he was just the best. Like, he was a really good fit for our family. He was really, like, similar personality-wise. Like, we're not, like, a crazy family. We're kind of reserved, and he was kind of reserved, but just really helpful. And he would always give us, you know, we would ask questions and he would tell us any information that he knew about rides or about history or about whatever we wanted to know. And then he had like a lot of good ideas about what to do and obviously got us on the rides really quickly. He's not, just to clear up, he doesn't get you to the front of a line. Like, you don't just get to like pop in and be like, oh, we're here, we go first, you know, right. But he gets you to the fast pass line of every ride, which is great. You know, we rode Mine Train 3 times because it ended up being one of my son's favorites. My daughter only rode it once. and, you know, we loved. And I mean, Mine Train is so fast. And to wait in that line for an hour to ride a 2-minute ride, that would have been trying. So getting to ride it 3 times was awesome. We rode it twice during the day and then we ended up doing it last thing at night with him. Riding it at night was kind of a different experience because it's outside. So that was cool. My daughter's favorite ended up being the teacups, so he got her on that 3 times. We rode, you know, everything in Fantasyland. We rode Big Thunder. We rode Splash Mountain. I don't know, Pirates, Dumbo, Barnstormer, that Buzz Lightyear shooting game. He was good. He got us on everything, and he got us on it like he knew the most efficient way to attack the park, which was another reason I wanted to use him at Magic Kingdom, because that to me is the most overwhelming park. There's just so much. And so he was really helpful with that. He also got us seating for the parade. So we headed over to the parade like after it had started, but before it got to Main Street, and we could stand, there's like a roped off area on the top of the train station. So you kind of overlook the parade. So that was nice.
That used to be where I told readers to go to watch it until you VIP people took over. But congratulations, you got to stand out of the sun and without any crowds and watch Festival of Fantasy. Nice.
And we had like a minute before, you know, a couple minutes before, and he had a stop at the Main Street ice cream place. I don't know the name of it. And we all got ice cream and we went up there and watched the parade eating our ice cream. And that was just like, you know, kind of relaxing. And then he said, you know, when we see the last float, I'm going to bring you guys over to the Town Square Mickey, because my kids had wanted to see that one because he talks. So he kind of knew how to, because even in the fast line, the characters I think can be a little bit slow because they spend time with each kid. So we were able to kind of get in there pretty quickly and see the talking Mickey, which was really like, it just kept making me laugh to hear his voice. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, it really sounds like him. So, and he's pretty good about the way he interacts. You know, it seems like he's really talking with the person who's there. So that was cool. I'm trying to think what else. I mean, he did a lot of little things. Like we had dinner at Casey's, the hot dog place. Mm-hmm. And while we got our food, you know, he went and found a table for us. Just like things that made it convenient.
Yeah. He was like an extra, you know, set of hands. Or
yes. And speaking of extra set of hands, we had rented a double stroller for our 9 and 6-year-old to avoid any meltdowns. And the 2 days we had him, he pushed that stroller the entire time.
Wow.
And I know. And we were like, you don't have to do that. And he's like, no, no. You know, it was like it was part of his job. You know, I have a picture of him pushing my son in it. And I'm like, people must think you're a celebrity, like to my son, because mostly my daughter didn't sit in it, but my son being pushed by this, because they wear, you know, their uniforms. Mm-hmm. And he wore like almost like a, not a top hat, but like a white hat. And I was like, people must be looking at this like, who is that kid?
He's being pushed everywhere by a cast member.
Right.
Will the VIP tour guide ride things with your kids? Like, for instance, the teacups, a lot of adults don't want to do that, you know? So
I think he would have. My kids probably wouldn't have gone on without a parent. They're, mm-hmm. they're pretty cautious or like shy. But he rode almost all the rides with us anyway, because he's like, yeah, I'm going to ride. I love Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, or I love, you know what I mean? So he mm-hmm. would jump on and ride when we were riding, unless he was like doing something. Like sometimes he would say, I'm going to stay off this ride so that I can go like park your stroller, or I can go grab you. He just was like, if he could do something helpful during that time, he wouldn't ride it. But a lot of times he would go on, and he just really loved his job, which was so cool to see too. He's been a guide for 7 years and he just loves it. You know, he like every day he goes, I feel like he just is so happy to be there. So
that's so nice.
It was good.
That's one of the best compliments that you could give somebody, is they seem like they just really love their job, because obviously that means they have joy in it and do it really well.
Yeah. Yeah. It was nice. And then, so we had him until 8:30. And that was, we had arranged to do the Wishes dessert party that night. So he walked us over there. And there was a line to get into the party, and he was like, let me see what I can do. Even though we were kind of done with his time. And then he kind of waved us over and we got to cut the line to go into the party. So you feel a little obnoxious, but then you remember how much money you paid and you're like, no, I feel okay about it.
Yeah, that's what you're paying for. And it's what's the maximum number of people that you can have per guide?
You can have up to 10.
Okay.
So it's, if you can share the costs with someone, you know, and make other cuts elsewhere, I would highly recommend it.
Yeah. And so this was your day one of the VIP guide. And then the next day you had him as well for a split park day, correct?
Yes. Yep. And it was funny, when I was talking to him on Wednesday, he had asked what we'd done so far. And I told him we'd done Animal Kingdom and my kids had loved the safari, but you know, unfortunately we didn't have plans to go back there. And he was like, you know, there's parking right outside the safari. He's like, I could probably shoot you over there, jump on the safari, and then shoot you to the next park. And I was like, really? So I kind of thought about that night, trying to think about like, could we fit it in? Because you're trying to maximize those 7 hours. And my kids were like, yes, we want to do that. So we ended up on Thursday, like we met at Epcot. And he was able to shoot us to Animal Kingdom in between. So it worked really well. We met him like at a little after lunch again. And then he took us on, I think we met him at Soarin', so we got on Soarin' again. And then instead of walking to Test Track, he drove us there. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of nice. You know, he had, you know, a Disney vehicle that was big enough for all of us, and he even could put the stroller in the back and, kind of drove around and parked right by Test Track. We went on Test Track, and then he suggested that we go on Mission Space, which hadn't really been on my list. And we all rode that, and we rode the green version, mm-hmm. Which is like the less intense. And that ended up being one of my son's absolute favorite rides. Like, I think we end up riding it 3 or 4 more times the rest of the week.
Wow.
Like, he thought it was just the coolest thing ever. I don't know why. You know, I mean, it's a cool ride. So I was so glad that he recommended it, because I probably just would have skipped it. But he just thought it was so neat. I think he really liked that it was interactive. Like you have a role, like mm-hmm. he was the pilot and he had to push a button at a certain time. And mm-hmm. he thought that was really neat. So, So we rode Mission Space, and then we jumped in his car, which was like right there behind Test Track. And he drove us to the safari, and we parked right by there, and we jumped on there. We had a really nice daytime safari. We saw a lot of animals again. I think because the weather wasn't super hot, so there a lot of them were out. And my son had really wanted to see cheetahs, and we ended up seeing a couple of cheetahs. They weren't like running, but they were laying there, so he was excited. And we just had better views of like the elephants and the giraffes and stuff that we had only seen kind of in darkness the previous time. So really glad that we've fit that in.
And the safari is at the back of the park. So if you were to park in the normal parking, it's a long walk, you know, to get back there. Yes. So you're driving right up. You're saving lots of transportation and walking time.
Really? So, yes. I mean, and we didn't have to go through like the park entrance. No, like, you know, like bag check or magic band waved in. And that saves like lots of time. I couldn't believe how efficient it was that we had time to do that. So that was good. And then he brought us to Hollywood Studios, which we had not been to yet. And he parked right next to Rock and Roller Coaster. And my son had really wanted to ride that. So I honestly was nervous. So I ended up not riding it. My husband rode it with him, and the guide rode with them because he loves that ride. And my son, the picture of him is so funny. Like, he looks like it's like he's terrified. And he came off, and he will to this day say that was his favorite ride. So he loved Rock and Roller Coaster. I tried to get everyone on Tower of Terror, and no one would go on.
Wow.
I think because it had the word terror in it and it's dark. Do you know what I mean? I was like, it's not, but I like, especially my son, I said, I think you'll really like the drops, but I didn't think they'd like the part beforehand where you're in like the dark room and they're doing the history of the hotel. And my guide was so nice. He said, you know, if you want, I can get you on just for the drop part. Like, we can skip the pre-show. So, but even with that option, everybody said no, but he did try everything he could to get them on there. And that was really a nice option to have if you have a kid that likes the thrill part, but really doesn't like the ghost element of it. I thought that was a neat thing that he offered.
Yeah. And I guess another place that could be done would be Haunted Mansion.
Yes.
Because the ride itself is not as scary to a lot of kids as the pre-show.
Yeah, no, you're right. I wish Haunted Mansion was closed when we had the guide, and it opened back up on Friday, and I made my kids go on, and they were so scared. I should not have made them go on, but I remember it as a kid, like it being one of my favorite rides, and I kept saying it's not scary, and they were like almost in tears. So they did not enjoy Haunted Mansion. I think they didn't mind the ride part, but you're right. The pre-show part, they were like clinging to me and crying, not crying, but yeah, scared.
It is. It's more scary.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're actually still back at Hollywood Studios. So after the section of the park with the scary rides, I assume you did some other things as well.
We did. We caught a march of the stormtroopers after that, which was really neat. The kids thought that was really cool. And then we went over to Jedi training. That, I think, was one of my favorite things that they got to do. My kids loved it.
The guide got you into that.
He did. We didn't have to sign up or anything. He just... When we saw him, even the day before, he already knew which time. He said, you're in the 4:40 Jedi training tomorrow. So okay. That was so nice because I know it can be really stressful to get that in your schedule. So that was great. And it ended up just being such a cool experience. Like I didn't really realize they did a whole show with it, you know, with the other characters that were in it, like the head Jedis. And it just was neat. And Darth Vader came out and my kids fought the seventh sister, who they don't even know who she is, but they loved that. And then Kylo Ren came out at the end and the junior Jedi had to fight him. And it just like, they loved it. Like my son was like, can we do that again? And I was like, well, no, but I'm really glad that you got to do it and that, you know, you enjoyed it so much. We took a ton of video of it. And that's another thing, like PhotoPass, they take your kids' pictures, you know, during that. And they get a lot of nice close-up shots of your kids. And that was really nice to have.
Did you have Memory Maker?
We did.
Okay. So yes, you got all those photos so you could download them and you didn't have to buy them a la carte.
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's a really good use of the VIP guide. You're really maximizing his time, aren't you?
We did. We were like, we were going to get every inch out of this guy. And then he offered, which I didn't really realize, after the Jedi thing, they give you a card that has the photos on it. And there's some kind of process where you have to go choose your photos or something like 2 hours later. I don't know, like pick the ones that your kids are in. He did it for us. Like he brought us to Fantasmic and then he went and did it.
Wow.
So
nice.
That was like really nice. Yeah. And I hadn't even planned on seeing Fantasmic, but then he had heard that I wasn't sure if I wanted to do it, and it was his favorite show. So after dinner, we did Star Tours, which everybody loved. And then he brought us to that Jingle Bell Jingle Bam show, mm-hmm. which we originally had booked a dessert party for, and I ended up canceling. And I was glad I did because we liked the dessert party at Magic Kingdom, but it was just like too much. Like, who can eat all that dessert? Mm-hmm. So it's more just like that you want to have the reserve seating. But so we watched the Jingle Bell Jingle Bam at 6:45. And like we got there and watched it, and then it snowed a little bit. And then before it ended, he brought us to Fantasmic for 7 and was able to like give us seats, which I feel like would literally be impossible without him.
So. Yes, it would. But I have a question about the Jingle Bam show, because the dessert party there actually is helpful because you get seats. It's really hard to see that show unless you're up close. So the dessert party gives you that. Did the guide also get you a good seating area?
He didn't. And he said, you know, I'm not going to do that because we're not going to watch the whole thing. And okay. he didn't think it would really be like fair to kind of take up a nice spot and then leave like 5 minutes after it started. And I said, you know, I'm not really sure about like, I wasn't dying to see it. Cause my family's really into fireworks and I knew it wasn't that much with fireworks. So I just kind of wanted to see what it was like and experience the snow. And so we stood and we didn't have a great view, but we could kind of see it. And my kids loved the snow. And then we went and watched Fantasmic, which I might be in the minority on, but it was okay. I think too, because I really like fireworks. Like we loved Wishes. We love Illuminations. That's my favorite. And Fantasmic, I was like, oh, okay. So I'm glad we watched it.
But I don't know if you're in the minority, but I do know a lot of people that haven't seen it in years just because, you know, they've seen it and don't feel the need to go back anytime soon. So I don't know that you're in the minority, but I do think for most people, if they haven't seen it, it's probably a good idea. So if people had to choose between the two shows, because most people do have to choose between the two, what would your suggestion be, at least for your family? What would you choose it? You know, if you were doing it again,
we probably would have done Jingle Bell, Jingle Bam, and then just like because it's shorter, like, mm-hmm. and then rode more rides. But because Fantasmic is longer, but I guess it really depends on the kid and how into like the Disney history they are, because there's so much of that in Fantasmic that my kids really aren't familiar with. That you would enjoy a lot more if you were passionate about that. And our guide was like, you have to see it. It's my favorite nighttime show. So I was really excited. And then I was like, that's your favorite? I mean, I didn't say that, but.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it is a favorite for people that do love the history. So it just kind of depends on what you are attracted to. We also love fireworks in our family. And we actually got married on July 4th. And we got the whole fireworks thing going on. So I get it. It is really fun to see the big shows. But you never know until you try. So,
I'm definitely glad I saw it.
At least you got to do, both in some capacity. So was this the end of your time with him?
It essentially was, his last pixie dust of the day that day was that he was like, I can drive you back to Epcot if you want. And we were like, well, that would be great. So he drove us back to Epcot and dropped us right by Spaceship Earth because my kids both loved that ride. And so we rode that again. And we had a fast pass that night for Illuminations. So he drove us back there and then we did Spaceship Earth and we did Mission Space again because there's like no wait for that ride ever. I don't know why, because it's my son's favorite. But
Spaceship Earth,
on that again. Well, no, Mission Space. We did end up doing Mission Space again.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was like every time we went up to that ride, it was like basically a walk-on. It was a 5-minute wait the whole week. So I'm not sure why, but
That's normal. I think people get spooked by the motion sickness possibilities on that one, because a lot of people do get motion sick there.
I think for me, like I do get motion sick, and the green wasn't bad. I can imagine the orange is like really intense, but the green level for me was fine. I should qualify it by saying that every morning I took a Dramamine before I went to the parks. Well, and that seemed to make it like I could ride anything.
Yeah, that might have helped you. So you went to use your Fast Pass for Illuminations.
Yes. And that was lovely. We had a nice viewing area. It's like right, you know, smack dab in the middle. The ground's a little bit slanted. So, you know, when you're standing, you can see. It's almost like stadium seating a little bit. So we kind of settled in there and walked around and got snacks and then came back. And I thought it was, I mean, that's my favorite show. And this time of year, they have a little like holiday tag at the end that was just unbelievable. Like they just, it was like every time you thought it was the finale, it was not the finale. And then at the end, it was like, they were like, just shoot off every firework. Like it was amazing. I was like, oh my gosh. So we loved that. That was a great way to end the day. And then we just walked back home right afterwards, which was so nice.
It's so nice when you don't have to worry about the transportation and you can be in your bed within just a few minutes if you want. Yeah. Okay, so you're getting towards the end of your trip. You have another day at Magic Kingdom, I think?
We do. We had the Christmas party on Friday, so that was another Magic Kingdom day for us. We ended up going through Epcot first so that we could ride Mission Space again. And then, because my thought was we'll go ride that and then we'll take the monorail to Magic Kingdom, which I think was a good idea in theory, but ended up being really crowded at the transportation and ticket center when we had to transfer, so I don't know if that was a pro or a con, but that's how we got over there. And then my plan for that morning was, since we had ridden so much with the guide, I wanted to get them on the rides that normally don't have waits that they had wanted to see. Like they really wanted to go to Tom Sawyer Island. Mm-hmm. So we ended up spending like probably more than a half an hour exploring that island. And they loved that. That's, my kids really like outdoors and that kind of thing. So they had a ball. Like they didn't want to leave. And I was like, we have a fast pass for Big Thunder Mountain. Like, let's get out of here. And they were like, we haven't seen this fort. So that was a really fun time. We had a couple fast passes. We did Big Thunder. We had a fast pass for the Jingle Cruise, which is the Jungle Cruise at Christmas time. Mm-hmm. we went up and down the Swiss Family Treehouse. And then we had a Crystal Palace lunch, which we had so many table service lunches because we had so many credits on the dining plan. That one, I mean, the food was good. The service was great. But for us, it was just kind of repetitive. It was like we met Pooh and Tigger again, and we'd already met them. They wanted to meet Piglet, but they move really slow at Crystal Palace. I don't know if it was just us or what, but we never got to meet Piglet or Eeyore. And I couldn't see waiting another like half hour for them to make it to our table. So that was the only place that we, like character place we ate where we didn't see everybody. Mm-hmm. But the food was good and it was fine. And then we headed over, like I remember doing the Monsters, Inc. laugh floor, which was really cute. And kind of other stuff in Tomorrowland. And because we wanted to be over there to get our bands for the Christmas party. So they handed those out near the laugh floor. So we got those.
Yes. And just to explain that very quickly, if you are in the park and you have Christmas party tickets, you have to have a band that says you have Christmas party tickets, which you can get at a few spots in the park or at the front gate. But you were already in Tomorrowland, so you went to that spot.
Yes. Yep. And that was easy. We got those on. But I will say the Christmas party, unfortunately for us, like I wouldn't do it again, or I would do it differently. It just didn't end up working out for us. The kids were starting to get tired. It was going to be a late night. And the park to me still felt really crowded. We tried to get on Mine Train. Like my phone said that the wait was 20 minutes. We walked over. The sign said 30 minutes. We got in line. We were in line close to an hour. And that was a long time. And I had wanted to like jump on it before the parade started because I really wanted to see the Christmas parade, and we were still in line when the parade started. So, and you don't want to get out of line when you've been waiting for 45 minutes. So, you know, when we got off, we ran over to the parade, but we kind of watched it from the back. Like we could see the back of the floats when they walked by, and that was just sort of disappointing. And then at that point, I mean, we got a free cookie from the place we were watching the parade from and like some eggnog. And then, like my mother was like, I really don't want to stay for the fireworks. I think I might go back. And then my kids were like, we want to go back. And then I didn't really want to send my mother back with my kids, you know? And so all of us ended up leaving. And I was like, I can't believe I spent all that money on those tickets. And like we rode two rides and watched the back of a parade. You know, it just, unfortunately for us, like, I don't know if we just didn't plan it well or everyone was just tired or what, but I was bummed to miss the fireworks because I know they're different at the Christmas party and I've heard they're amazing and I had really wanted to see them, but it just was not in the cards. So we ended up leaving. My son fell asleep on the bus. Like we were, everyone was just too tired.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's, I mean, that happened. It's a bummer, but
yeah.
And after having such good luck with your tour guide and being able to do so much,
yeah,
you know, it was a kind of a juxtaposition, you know, of, you know, the time that you had with him versus the Christmas party. Maybe in hindsight, if the fireworks were the most important part, then you could have been outside of Magic Kingdom and watched them from there, and then you would have saved the ticket price.
True.
Not something you would know ahead of time, obviously, but just 2020 hindsight, maybe that would have worked out better, but we'll never know.
Anyway,
I mean, you know, I like hearing the good and the bad stuff because it's good to hear a realistic portrayal of how it actually went. So it's unfortunate, but maybe other people can take that information and apply it to their own planning.
Yeah. And I mean, even if we had done it earlier in the week, it might have worked out better. Everyone was just really beat at this point. It was our last night, and I think everyone was just pretty drained. So,
yeah.
You know, we went back, and that was fine. and then on our last day, we didn't have a flight until 6:45 at night. So we had another park day on Saturday. And so we ended up splitting up, which was great. I haven't mentioned yet, but my kids fought a lot on the trip, which I know a lot of kids don't, but my kids did. They're really different and they liked really different rides. So my daughter liked the slow moving, you know, like Frozen type rides. And then my son really likes roller coasters. So every time we were in line for a ride that my daughter wanted to ride, my son would be like, I don't really want to go on this. Am I, you know, vice versa. So that made for a little bit of tension. So we ended up, my parents took my daughter to Epcot and they kind of did World Showcase and rode a couple of the slower rides there. And my husband and I took my son back to Hollywood Studios. We rode like Star Tours two more times. He got to be the Rebel Spy the last time, which he loved. He made his own lightsaber. It was just like we could cater to just his needs because, my daughter wasn't there. So we just said, do you want to do this? And he would say, yeah, and we would do it. So we did Indiana Jones, which was really cool. He liked that a lot. We did Muppets 3D, which I forgot was so much fun. That was really cool. And then we ended the day at Toy Story, which I should have mentioned. We did Toy Story with the guide two times in a row because we loved that. Like we could have rode that six more times. Everybody loved that ride so much.
Good.
So we ended the day with Toy Story, and then we had actually walked to Hollywood Studios. It was only about a 15-minute walk from the boardwalk, and so we walked back home, and then you know met up with my parents and headed off to the Magical Express to the airport. So. That was our trip.
So you use Magical Express to get back to the airport, but not on your arrival day.
Correct.
Okay. Yes. All right. I just want to make sure I remembered earlier from what you were saying. So now that the trip is over, do you feel like you had enough time to do everything that you wanted?
I do. I mean, I think the tour guide really contributed to that. Honestly, like I feel like we could go for fewer days than we went if we did a tour guide again and still do everything we want and have just as good of a time. Like we could have cut out our last day at Magic Kingdom. We could have cut out our Universal day and still seen everything. And I also think just now that we know the types of things they like and that, you know, that kind of how our family works at Disney, because this was our first time going, I think the second time you do it can be a lot more efficient. So I felt like we got to do everything that I wanted, you know, give or take a firework here or there that I would have liked to stay for.
Yeah. Which, you know, that kind of stuff is always going to pop up. But you, you know, had certain expectations beforehand and you had about 6 days or so to do it. But it sounds like you got everything done that you kind of had hoped. Did you think Memory Maker was worth it?
Definitely. I am not great at taking pictures. And I also just don't like to be bothered with it during a trip. I'm lucky that my husband took some because at the end I was like, I don't really have any pictures except these Memory Maker pictures. And my husband had snapped quite a few, but having them on the rides I think is awesome because it really shows like, you know, how much you're enjoying it and what you did and just getting all the whole family in the shot and all those group locations is nice. We have some nice ones in front of the castle that like I ended up using for our Christmas cards. So I definitely would do that again. I maybe would try a little harder to stop at the stops. Sometimes you don't want to stop and get your picture taken. But yes, I'm pleased with Memory Maker for sure. I don't really, to me, it's not that much of an increased cost to get rid of that stress of taking your own pictures.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, as a percentage of your overall budget, it doesn't seem like a whole lot. But if you don't stop and get the pictures, then there aren't a lot of choices when your trip's over to you know, download or print the pictures. What about the dining plan? I know it was free for you, but do you think it was worth having for you, for your family?
I do. We used every credit on that dining plan. I was a little bit like, kept saying like, get a snack. Because I had so many friends say, we didn't use all our snack credits. And at the end of the trip, we were buying a bunch of popcorn at the gift shop. So every day I would say like, did everyone get a snack today? Go get something because we have points. So we ended up using it. We had booked all the table service. We got, you know, we used all our quick service credits. I think my parents ended up with a couple leftover table service credits because they had skipped that dinner at Via Napoli. I booked them a lunch at Via Napoli on that day. They took my daughter to Epcot. They ate at Via Napoli so that they got to eat there, and that used up two of their credits, but it had been a double credit dinner because of the candlelight processional. So they ended up with two leftover ones. But otherwise we used up everything, all the snacks and all the quick serves. So I was pleased with that.
Good.
Yeah.
And you have alluded a little bit to a next trip. On the pre-trip, you mentioned something about going back when the Star Wars land is created. And just now you said the second trip would be easier. So what are your thoughts right now about when you might go back?
I think it will be a little while. Like, I almost think that, you know, when Star Wars land is done would be probably a good fit for our family. It was, you know, it was kind of stressful. Like I said, my kids fought a lot, and that was kind of the one thing I couldn't control. And that's different for every family. I have kids who are very, very different from each other. So when they're on a vacation together, it kind of gets blown up because they're sharing a small space and we're trying to divide our time so that they both are doing activities that they enjoy. So it was kind of exacerbated on vacation, but they, you know, they want to go back. They loved it. So I do think in a couple of years, we'll talk about it again. In the back of my head, I'm like, maybe a Disney cruise, but for now we're happy with what, you know, what we did, and we'll revel in the memories for a while. And then, you know, a little down the line, we'll think about going back. It's not like we are going back next year.
Right. It'll be a few years, maybe.
I think so. Yeah.
And your parents, what are their thoughts?
They liked it. I think I tired them out. They're in their late 60s, and I had them walking a lot. I wore my Fitbit, so they were always like, how many steps did we take today? So I would say, you know, today we hit 20,000 steps again. So that's a lot of walking. I mean, they're in good shape. They're very healthy, but they were tired. So, you know, my mom kept saying, like, this is probably the last time we'll go. But they were really glad that they came. We're obviously thrilled that they came. I mean, the trip for us was a gift from them. So, they, you know, they had a good time. They love that now we have those memories, but you know, that the kids will have the memories with them of going there. So I think that for them, that made it worth it. And they enjoyed it. They loved the hotel. My mom said she didn't really like the food. She's pretty picky about food. And she was like, my two complaints would be, number one, I didn't think the food was good for the prices, which I think is probably true, but it's just a function of being in a theme park, I guess. Mm-hmm. And we didn't really eat anywhere super fancy because we had kids. Like, I'm sure if we ate at Victoria and Albert's, the food would have been good, but character meals are going to be what they are. And then her other complaint was the characters. One time walked by like my daughter. My daughter is the shyest human. And my daughter reached out and like softly petted the character, like it stopped near her, and like the handler for the character like yelled at my daughter. She's like, you cannot touch them when you are like, you know. And my daughter's like, oh, I'm sorry. And then a second time when we were at Crystal Palace, Tigger was like at the table behind us, and like I said, my kids fought the whole time, but for this one minute they were giggling because they were going to try and touch his tail. And so my son touched his tail and they were laughing, and Tigger's handler was like, you know, it's these child's turn with Tigger. It's really rude to infringe on that. My kids were like, oh. So, I mean, I know they have to be strict about it, but my mom was like, I just thought it was a little extreme. And I was like, well, you know, maybe, but, you know, that it kind of bothered her, I guess, with the characters. And I said, I'm sure they've had instances where, you know, they get mobbed. So they need to be really careful about how much you're allowed to touch the characters. But she, I think, was a little put off by how regimented it was, and that, like, the kids weren't really being terrible. They were being kind, and they got reprimanded. And so she felt a little bit, she didn't like that.
Yeah, especially for kids that are more shy anyway. And, you know, that sort of teaches them to continue to be shy.
Right, yeah.
So, yeah, and I think, unfortunately, it is a function of just how busy Disney World is, and that the characters have to be run in a certain way in order to, right, you know, serve everybody. Disneyland is a lot different, and the characters,
really?
Much different. They, not all the characters even have attendants, and they're kind of just wandering through the park, and they're much more approachable. It's just, it's a lot more relaxed in terms of characters. But Disney World has to be like that just for the number of people. So that was just an unfortunate side effect, I guess, of your kids trying to interact in a way that the attendants didn't like. But
yes, yeah.
All right. Well, I'm glad everybody had mostly a good time. And when you do get to go back, I think it'll be a lot easier, and you'll be able to plan based on what you learned this time.
Yeah, no, it was great all around. I'm really thrilled with how it turned out. I feel like all my planning kind of paid off, and things, we really didn't spend a lot of time waiting. And yeah, I'm really happy with how it came out. I'm really happy with the memories that the kids have of the trip now.
Right. And with your parents. That's something that you'll never forget.
Yeah.
So, well, thanks for talking to me after your trip. And I just loved hearing all the details, and glad that all the planning paid off.
You're very welcome. Thanks for having me.
All right. Thanks, Gina.
Sure.
I hope you enjoyed hearing from Gina, and maybe even got an idea or two for your trip, or maybe you could add a few ideas to your bucket list for future trips. I know that personally, I would love to be able to do a VIP tour guide one time and try that out, because I think there are so many benefits to that. But anyway, I hope you enjoyed that. And as always, I do want to wrap it up with a quick tip of the day, but I did want to mention that a lot of times I will create my bullet points for a new episode, and the only thing left is the quick tip of the day, because I sometimes have a hard time coming up with those. So if you would like to submit one that I could include in an episode, you could email me, shannon@wdwprepschool.com, or you can use the Speak Pipeline, which allows you to basically leave me voicemail. And you can get information on how to do that in the show notes. And today is actually a quick tip submitted by another reader, not named Gina, not the one that was just interviewed, but another one. And her quick tip is this. She says, if you are going to have a stroller in the parks and you're worried about things being stolen, consider packing at least 2 touring bags. One of your bags can have your valuable stuff and things that you don't want to lose, like your camera or wallet, things like that. Your second bag can have more disposable things like diapers, toiletries, that sort of thing. That way, when you park it, you can leave the disposable items in it and just take the bag that has your valuables with you. And that will give you some flexibility, and you can worry less about your things being taken in the park. So I hope that's helpful for those of you that fit that scenario. We are a little bit out of that phase, so I always appreciate hearing from you guys about how you are doing things with your little ones. I think that will wrap up this episode of WDW Prep to Go. For more information on this episode, you can check the show notes in your podcasting app, or go to the website, click the podcast tab at the top, look for episode 139. Until next time, I'll see you on the site.